I didn't deal with it. Now you do it.
All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Vav. We're going to begin actually on the bottom of, well, not even so. Also Chazaz, a lot to do today. So we left off also Chazazis. Also Chazazis. So it's about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up from the bottom. So it says the Gemara the following. Also Chazozis. Remember, again, we spoke about yesterday, this Chazozis is like this this wart-like protrusion. It's not, remember, as opposed to the Blatlach, the leaf marks, where if you run your hand against the Esrog, you will not be able to feel it. The Chazozis is raised. Not to be confused with the bumps of the Esrog. The bumps of the Esrog, as somebody mentioned yesterday, actually make it more mohudr, more beautiful. This is literally like a protrusion on top of the Esrog. So says the Gemara the following. Also Chazazis, Amar Rav Chista, Dover Zeh, Rabbeinu HaGadol Amro. This particular thing, Rabbeinu HaGadol, Rabbi Yudanos said, Hamokom Yeh Be'Azro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should literally be at his aid. Lo Shtanu, what did Rabbeinu HaGadol say? Lo Shtanu Ela B'Makom Echad. When is the Chazazis problematic? So remember again, Jose, just to reorient you, so the Mishnah said, also chazozis al rubo. If this protrusion covered the majority of the esrog, then halacha lemaisa it invalidates the esrog. So it says the Gemara. Rav Chista said, Rabbeinu HaGadol said, "Amru hamakom." I'm sorry, lo shano ela b'makom echad. That's only true if the chazozis was in one place. Aval b'shnayim b'shalosh makamos kasher. But if the chazozis was in two, or if there were two or three different places on the esrog that had a chazazis, the esrog will be kosher. Amrle Rava, Rava said, Adrava, just the opposite. Bishnaim v'shalosh makomos, havile kemenumar upasal. Just the opposite. If an esrog has a chazazis on two or three different places, both said that's what's called the menumar. Menumar means spotted. Spotted. A spotted esrog, which is an esrog that has blemishes on multiple parts, is considered to be possible because it's no longer hadar, it's no longer beautiful. Ela I itmar asefa itmar. Rather, what you have to understand is that it's actually referring to the second case, the bottom latter case in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, al miuto kosher, because the Mishnah said that if the chazozis is just on a mute, on a small part of the esrog, it's kosher. Amar Rav Chista, and on that Rav Chista said, davar zeh Rabbeinu HaGadol Amro, this particular matter that Rabbeinu HaGadol said, v'amokum yeh ba'azro, lo shonu ela b'mokum echot, aval b'shnayim v'sholosh mekomos havilei kemenumar. That, Rebbe say, when do we say that a chazozis on a minority of the esrog is going to be kosher? That's only when it's in one spot. But if it's in two or three spots, even though what? Even though the Maisa still covers a minority of the esrog, it will be considered havilei menumar. It is like a spotted esrog, and therefore upasal, and therefore it's pasal. So we'll say, I'll just show you quickly the Shulchan Aruch over here, and this is in Simen Tafresh Memches Siftes. So in Tafresh Memches Siftes, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following: also chazozis, if this protrusion, this word-like protrusion came on the esrog, alof im bebeis begil makomos pasal. If it happens in two or three different places in the esrog, then it's pasul. And I both say that is true even if what? Even if the two or three places are still a minority on the esrog. Why? Because at that point in time, it's like menumer. It's like it's spotted. V'im b'makom echad, however, again, if it just comes up in one place, im ala aruba pasul. If it covers the majority of the esrog, then it's pasul. But if it's a minority, if it's concentrated in one place, then lemaisa the esrog is still kosher. The Gemara ends off by saying, and this indeed is halacha lemaisa as well. Amarava va'al chotmo, if it's on the chotem, afilu b'mashu nami pasul. However, if the chazozis is on the chotem, then even a small chazozis will ultimately invalidate the esrog. And I will say, what is the chotem? The chotem is the top of the esrog at the point where the esrog begins to slant inwards towards the top. So normally when you wrap, if you were to wrap your fingers around the body of the esrog towards the top, that's where the slant begins. So if you have a chazozis on the chotem, that automatically invalidates. So mostly what we have essentially are three different cases. If the chazozis covers the majority of the esrog, then again, the esrog is pasul. If the chazozis, however, only covers a minority, the esrog is kosher. However, if the esrog has chazazes in two or three different places, which means again it's scattered around the esrog, then even if it only covers a minority, it's still possible because that's called a spotted esrog. Furthermore, if the esrog has a chazazes on the chotem, the top part, that's the part slanting upwards towards the pitom, then lemaise again, even though it only covers a minority and it's in one place, it is possible as well. The Gemara goes weiter. Nitla pitmaso. If the pitom was removed, ultimately the esrog is possible. Tan Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, nitma buchnaso. This assumes that the buchna literally means a pestle, like a mortar and a pestle. So we'll say, what is this saying? Remember, as I mentioned yesterday, the esrog, the pitom is comprised of really two parts. The pitom is comprised of the shoshanda, which is the top brown part that sits on top. But really, the pitom is the part under the shoshanta that connects the shoshanta to the body of the esrog itself. So the Gemara is saying is the following. When is the esrog? When we say the pitom, if the pitom was removed, that the esrog is possible, that's if the buchna, the pestle, which is what the Gemara calls that protrusion from the body of the esrog that connects ultimately to the top of the bulb, that's when the esrog is possible. But aloch al-maisa, if let's say the top part were to come off, but that bottom stem that supports it and connects it to the body of the esrog would ultimately be still there. The esrog would in fact be kosher. Says the Gemara, Niklaf, if the esrog was peeled. Amar Rava, hai esroga de iglid ke'ahino sumka kshira. If an esrog was peeled, ahino sumka, Rabose, means like a red date. What this means is that lemaisa, again, if you were to peel this, now let me be clear on this. When they're talking about peeling over here, they don't mean removing the entire thick rind of the esrog. What they're referring to over here is the esrog has a very, you know, it's the outer shiny layer. If you were to remove that shiny layer, there's still a skin on the esrog. If you were to remove that shiny layer, what would happen is when exposed to air, it would turn like a reddish brown, like a date. So if you were to peel the esrog and it were to become that would be kahina sumka, and it would become like that reddish hue, like a date, ksheira, the esrog is still kosher. But we learned Niklaf Pasal, what we learned in our Mishnah, that if the esrog was peeled, then the esrog is Pasal. Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Tap of Lamed Vav. Habikula, Habimitzas. So this is very interesting. Now, the way Rashi interprets this is Rashi says, Kula, if you peeled the entire thing, it's kasher. Miktsasa, if you only peeled part of it, it's Pasal. Why? Because then it would be, Rashi says, Pasal Diminumaru. Because ultimately, again, it's like a spotted, because again, that means part of it will be yellow, part of it will be red. It's like a spotted esrog, which will be problematic. But I will say, just interestingly enough, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Mem Ches as the simon about esrog. So in Tafresh Mem Ches, Sif Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says just the opposite. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Niklav HaKlipa Chitzona Shelo, if you remove the outer layer of the esrog, She'enu Mechasro, which does not make the esrog deficient, elenisha yaro kamo briaso, but it's still green or yellow, I should say, like it was created, or it's still green like it was created. But again, it could take on a little bit of this reddish hue. In niklaf kulo pasul, if you skin the entire thing, then it's pasul. Elenisha rimenu kol shu kasher, but if you left any amount of the original skin on it, yeah, that outer layer, it's kasher. So just pointing out that halacha lemaisa, we actually pass in the opposite like Rashi. Now, the way we understand the Gemara is, when is the esrog problematic if you peel the outer layer? Only if you peel the outer layer in its entirety. But if you only peel part of it, the esrog will still be kasher. Nistak v'nikev. If nistak, Rabosa, means split, nikev means punctured. So if you split or you punctured the esrog, tani ula bar chanina, nikev nekev mafulash b'mashu. If you went ahead and, Rabosa, if you pierced the esrog through, from side to side, then even a small puncture, then even like a very small amount, will invalidate the esrog. V'she'enu mafulash, but again, if you made a hole in it, if you split it, I should say you punctured it, excuse me, if you punctured it, but it doesn't go all the way through, so it's only problematic if the puncture is the size of an isser. Isser is the size of a coin. Bo'i rava, nol du be'esrog simani trefa ma'u. What happens if within an esrog you have simani trefa? Now, I will say simani trefa normally means signs that render an animal a trefa. So, what happens if your esrog has signs of a trefa? So the Gemara says, first of all, my kami boile. What's the question? What does that mean? Iniklaf tanina. If you're talking about an esrog that was peeled, we spoke about that. Inistak, if you're talking about an esrog that was split, tanina, we learned that as well. Inike, if you're talking about an esrog that was punctured, tanina. We've asked all these things. So what are you asking when you're talking about an esrog that became a trefa? Ki kami boile kidula. The Gemara says, you're right. What we're asking ultimately is like the case of ula. What does ula say? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Listen to this. This is not talking about a trefa. If you have an animal and you open it up and you have the lungs. Now remember again, so let's say the flesh, so to speak, within the lungs, within the lung membrane. So dissolved to the point that you could take the membrane and you could pour out the contents of the lung membrane. So the lungs just dissolved. So what's the halacha? Kshera. The animal is still considered to be kosher, meaning this does not render the animal a trefa. But Amar Rava said, "V'hu dekaima simfona." That is only assuming that what? That the symphona are in existence. Now, what is a symphona? Symphona are bronchial tubes. So as long as the bronchial tubes are still in existence, are still in existence within the actual lungs, then the lungs are considered intact enough so as not to consider an animal a trefa. So the Gemara says, halo kaimi symphona trefa. But again, if let's say the contents of the lung membrane were to liquefy, even the bronchial tubes, then the mice, again, that would render the animal a trefa. Hacha mai. So what is the halacha here? Now, we'll say, now, what's the comparable case to esrog? It's actually very interesting. Look at Rashi, right across. Hacha mai, Rashi says, im nimuach v'kaimi simfuna. What happens if the inside of the esrog dissolves, but its bronchial tubes are intact? Now, what are the bronchial tubes of the esrog? Remember, if you ever open up an esrog, what you'll find is there's the rind, then sometimes there's fruit, depending on what type of esrog you have, and in the middle of the esrog you have a chamber where the seeds are. So the Gemara is asking over here is what happens if the esrog flesh around the inside essentially dissolved, decayed, but the seed chamber is still intact. Is the esrog kosher or not? So the Gemara is trying to compare that to the case of the lungs, that ultimately dissolve. So hachamai, dilma hasam hudalo shalit be'avira hadar bari. So maybe in the case of the animal, even when the contents of the lung membrane liquefy, the mice doesn't render the animal a trefa. Why? Because that is not exposed to the elements, and maybe there's a possibility that it'll regenerate and the animal will heal. But Rabosei, the truth is the seed chambers of the esrog are not sufficiently protected against the external elements, and therefore maybe once the rest of the esrog flesh ultimately decays, that lemaisa, this inner part, is considered to be decayed as well. Or maybe we see, no, that just like the liquefied lungs don't go ahead and create a trefa situation by an animal. So, two, even if the inside flesh of the esrog decays, but the seed chamber remains intact, that won't make a difference either. To which the Gemara says, Tashma. So let's analyze this. Esrog tafuach, if you have a decayed esrog, saruach, a rotten esrog, kavush, I will say, literally means pickled. Although kavush could really refer to any process where you leave a solid in a liquid for over 24 hours. Shaluk means cooked. Kushi is a black esrog, or the way the Gemara called it, an Ethiopian esrog. We'll see, it means a black esrog later on, but lemaisa, for now, we could just call it an Ethiopian esrog. Lavan, a white esrog. Uminumar, and, or a spotted esrog. Pasul, all these cases are pasul. Esrog kikador, if you have an esrog that is like a ball, i.e. it's round, totally round, pasul, such an esrog is pasul. V'yesh umrim, and some say avhatium, also a twin esrog. We'll say a twin esrog is an esrog that essentially begins whole on the bottom and then looks like it splits into two. Actually, I meant to bring in a picture. I don't have a picture of my game. I have a picture in the safe at home. Oh, you have a picture of it? Oh, good. Oh, good. It's like Siamese twins, like Siamese esrogim. That's what you have a picture in the article also?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Like Siamese esrogim. So the Gemara says, esrog haboser. And similarly, Esrog HaBoser, we'll say Esrog HaBoser, Rashi points out over here, is Katan Kipul HaLavan, an exceptionally small Esrog, like the size of a lentil. Rabbi Akiva posel, Rabbi Akiva says it's posel. The Chachamim makshir, and the Chachamim say it's kosher. Now we'll say, the Gemara is quoting a whole long brisa here, and then we'll go back and analyze exactly what our question is. Godlob, and then we're going to go back and analyze this brisa. Godlob bitifus, if you grew an esrog in a mold, we'll say it's a very interesting case. This is actually a situation. If you look at Rashi, kidlob bitifus, sha'asalo defus kishukatan, vinosno besocho bimuchuber, the godlob kimidas had defus. So we'll say it's interesting. So what happens is you take a small esrog plant and you put some type of form around it so that when the esrog grows, it grows in the shape of the form. It goes in the shape of the form. That's what we'll analyze that in a little bit. And therefore, again, it looks like something totally different than an esrog, even though, what's the right word? Agriculturally or botanically, it is an esrog, but lemaise again, it does not look like an esrog. Puzzle. In all these cases, it's puzzle. So both sides. Now, we only quoted this price for one case and one case only, and that's why. Because the Mishnah began by saying that an esrog that is tafuach saruach, an esrog that is decay and rotted, is puzzle. So both sides, this seems to indicate to us that what? That if the inside of the esrog is decay and rotted, that lemaise, well, let's read the Gemara. So the Gemara says, katani mihas, what do we see from here? Tafuach saruach, that an esrog that is decay and rotted is possible. My lab, now both say, is tafuach and saruach two cases or two parts of the same case? The Gemara assumes, my lab, tafuach mi bachutz, saruach mi bifnim. Maybe they refer to two different states of decay. That tafuach means decayed on the outside, and saruach means rotted on the inside. And therefore, what do you see from here? Whether the esrog is rotted on the inside or the outside, Lemaisa again, what? The esrog is puzzle, which would seem to indicate to us what? That in the comparable case of esrog to trefa, where the inside of the esrog flesh decayed, even though the seed chamber is intact, the esrog should still be puzzle. To which the Lord says, no, lo, idivi idimi bachutz. No, it's not true. In fact, both tafuach and saruach refer to outer decay, outer spoilage, velo kasha, and it's not a contradiction. Had de tafach apa gav de lo sarach. Had the sarach afagav dilo tafach. Look at Rashi Rabosai. The Gemara says Rashi is lo tafach afagav lo sarach tafach belaz kigon shenaflu gishamim betalush v'tafuach sarach nirkav. Look at the lishnachrina tafach nirkav. Tafach literally means it became spoiled or rotten. Sarach recho ra. Sarach refers to what? Where it becomes a bad smell. Machmas tolaim shachlu, as a result of worms that ultimately ate the fruit. To which the Gemara is ultimately saying over here that lemaisa, tafuach and saruach could both refer to external spoilage, and they're just different types of spoilage. One is just a result of rotting. The other is a result of insects being inside or outside on the fruit. But therefore, the Gemara is saying is, we have no raya to the case of the inner spoilage. So I'll just tell you, in the case of the inner spoilage, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this case. Again, Tafresh Memchas Dalid. And the Tafresh Memchas Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Esrog Shinimuach Kol B'Sar Bifnim. If you have an Esrog that all of its inner flesh rotted, Ukli Paso Hachitzona Kayemes. But its outer flesh, its outer, bless you, its outer flesh is intact. The chedre hazara kayam bifnim, and the seed chamber is intact. Kosher, it's kosher. However, v'yesh poslim, some say that it's not. Okay, so we'll say again. So remember,
How would you know unless you cut it open?
I think you would know. I think you would feel it. I think the difference is that an estrog like that is, you know, not totally squishy, but definitely not hard. If the inner flesh is decayed, you can already feel. Now, how you would know that the seed chamber is intact, I don't know. I guess people knew. I mean, the answer is there must be a way to know. There must be some way to know. But ultimately, that's your homework. I don't know. Then you figure out, Google it. I don't know how you know that. But lemais, again, just you should know. So what do we do in a case like this? So the Shulchan Aruch says it's kasher. Then he says yesh poslim. So the Mishnah Berurah therefore says in this particular case, In this particular case, right, so the Mishnah Berurah says, V'yucha lahargish davarzeh b'mishmush hayad. So the Mishnah Berurah says, somehow you could tell that the seed chamber is intact by feeling it. So I guess it's mushy enough that you know that the inside is somewhat rotten, but I don't know, somehow you know the seed chamber. I guess maybe it is once the seed chamber rots, the entire esrog decays. The fact that it's still somewhat intact, I guess, is indicative of the fact that the seed chamber is intact. So the Shulchan Aruch says you could use it, it's kosher, but yesh poslim, but some say it's poslim. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, v'yesh lahachmir b'davazer b'malkom she'efshar. So whenever you have the Shulchan Aruch say that it's kosher, but some say it's poslim, whenever possible to be machmir and not use such an esrog, that certainly would be preferable. But technically, if you did, it would be okay. Amar Mar, esrog kushi poslim. So the Braisa said that an esrog kushi, right, a black esrog or an Ethiopian esrog, is possible. I b'hatanya kushi kosher. But we learned that an esrog kushi is kosher. The Gemara says, oh, dome le kushi possible. If an esrog resembles a kushi esrog, then it's possible. I will say now what does that mean? Dome le kushi. Rashi says shagadul kan v'hari hu shachar, that it grows here, but it's black. Now I will say, what does this mean? Amra Abaye kitnan nami masnisin. Dome le kushi tinan, to which the Gemara says like this, something very interesting. What the Gemara Basa is now suggesting is that lemaisa, why isn't an esrog kushi kosher? Why isn't it kosher? Because lemaisa, for us, it's not considered hadar. It's not considered to be beautiful. But let's say I live in Ethiopia. And Ethiopia, the majority of esrogim are black esrogim. So what is the halacha? The halacha is I can use it. I can use it. Why? Because lemaisa, again, where I am, that is the normative esrog. That is the pre-eitz hadar. Rava amar lo kasha halan v'haluhu, and that's why Rava says, sarakasha, this is for us and this is for them. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. The olam masnisin kushi nami pasul. In reality, the Mishnah again does in fact invalidate a kushi esrog. V'lo kasha masnisin legabe eretz yisrael. V'lo kasha masnisin lebnei eretz yisrael sharuchokim eretz kush. So I will say the Mishnah that says an esrog kushi is possible. So who is that referring to? That's referring to the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. An esrog kushi is possible for them. Why, Rabosai? Because again, they don't have that type of esrog. And even were you to grow that type of esrog in your esrog orchard, it would still be possible. Because again, what we're seeing over here is that the general criteria for hadar are subjective. In Eretz Yisrael, a kushi esrog is not considered to be hadar. But the braisa that ruled that an esrog kushi is kasher, Rashi says, libnei bavel shekrovim lakush uregilin bahem. But in bavel, that is closer to Ethiopia, and therefore again, they had a kushi esrog in there. Umikamakom. So then halacha lemaisa, for them, it would be kasher. Umikamakom begadol kan. But again, remember in Eretz Yisrael, were you to grow an esrog kushi, it would still be possible because lemaisa does not satisfy the criteria for that subjective regional hiddur. So the Gemara goes weiter. Halan v'haluhu esrog aboser. Now we're just going through case after case in the braisa, and then I will say that indeed you should know is how the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins. I'll just tell you quickly, because there's a lot of interesting halacha today. So this is Tafresh Memches, Sif Yud Zayin. So over here, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Makom Sheha Esrogim Shalohen Kein Shechoros Mat. If you have a place where their Esrogim are black, or a little bit, he says, Kein Shechoros Mat, are somewhat blackened, Ksherin. It's kosher. So if there's a black issue, it's kosher. So also the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is, again, if you live in a place that produces esrogim with a blackish hue, then that's okay in the place that you live. However, again, if the esrog is totally black, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that is possible b'chol makom, because the Shulchan Aruch feels that again a totally black esrog is fundamentally lacking hiddur in all circumstances. Okay, says the Gemara, esrog aboser. What about an esrog? Now the way we translated this before is a small esrog. Small esrog. Rabbi Akiva posel the Chachamim machshirin. Rabbi Akiva says it's posel. The Chachamim say it's kasher. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon said one thing, meaning that they're of the same mind. They say the same shita. What's the same shita? Rabbi Akiva Hada'amra. So Rabbi Akiva is that which we mentioned before, which is Rabbi Akiva says that an esrog haboser is possible. Rabbi Shimon Ma'i. What does Rabbi Shimon say? This time Rabbi Shimon poter es ha'esrog in bakotnon. Rabbi Shimon says that an esrog is potter from meiser when it's small. When it's very small, it's potter from meiser. So what do you see from here? You see from here that even according to Rabbi Shimon, an esrog of such a small size, whatever that size may be, but a smaller size, is not subject to meiser. Why? Because it's not yet considered a pri. And therefore, the assumption is if Rabbi Shimon exempts it from meiser, he would also say what? That you can't use it to fulfill the mitzvah. So Moshe says, one second, I'm really a bayit dumalohi. No, you can't necessarily compare the shiklas of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbi Shimon. Why not? At kamlo kam Rabbi Akiva hacha deba inan hadra veleka. Maybe Rabbi Akiva says that a very small esrog, and remember, boser Rashi translated as a small lentil. Maybe if the esrog is so small like a lentil, you can't use it. Why? Because it's lacking in hidur. Because it's not beautiful. But it could be that in the case of maestros, Rabbi Akiva holds like the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan say that even a small fruit is chayiv in maeser. Why? Because it has the identity of a pri. Rashi says the chayiv in maeser the prihu, because even though it's small, it's still considered a pri. Inami, or the other possibility is ad kan lokar Rabbi Shimon hasam el dechsiv aser taser is called vaser acha. So therefore, maybe in the case of maeser, Rabbi Shimon exempts a very small esrog from maeser. Why? Because the pasuk says you should tithe all of your produce. Zaracha, kol tvuas zaracha. So the Rabbi Shimon Darshan's kederech shebenei adam motzi in Israel. People say it's interesting. The Torah says you have to tithe your produce, but it doesn't just say tvua, which by the way doesn't have to just mean wheat. Could mean all things that grow. It says tvuas zaracha. So Rashi points out over here that it has to be the type of, what's the type of produce that is subject to tithing requirements? Kiderech shebnei adam motzien lizria. It would have to be the type of produce that is capable of being used for planting. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Let's just look at the first two lines. Shebnei adam motzien lizria, pri ha'asri litzmoach. It has to be the type of produce that has seeds that are able to produce subsequent fruit. Velo mishkachos la, ela bebashal kol tzarcha. Well, that is very interesting. So apparently, seeds are only capable of being replanted and ultimately blossoming into new fruits and items if what? Mm-hmm. Is if they come from a fully mature plant. Mm-hmm. So it could be over here what the Gemara is saying is like this. But the way Rabbi Shimon darshins is the pasuk says, when do you have to take maaser from something? When it's tevuas zaracha. What does tevuas zaracha mean? That it's mature enough that its seeds could be used to be replanted and produce subsequent fruits. But lemaisa, again, if its seeds are not mature enough, then what? Then lemaisa, again, it's not subject to maisa requirements. That's why Rabbi Shimon exempts the very small esrog. Aval hocha, but over here, kirabanan sirole, over here, Rabbosa means, in the case of esrog, maybe again, Rabbi Shimon would hold, like the Rabbanon, who would say that such an esrog, in fact, is good enough for esrog, because at the end of the day, it satisfies the basic criteria of pre-Eitz Hadar. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, v'sulo midi. Let's not talk about this anymore, because in reality, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva may not be of like mind. See, even though it sounded like at the outset, that they were saying the same thing, that they both agree that an esrog boser would be possible. And in fact, again, they may not be saying the same thing at all, because the cases they are discussing are in fact dissimilar. Godlo b'defus va'asok min beri acharis pasul. So remember, Ken, the next case of the Brisa was, I grew the esrog in a mold, and now the esrog looks like a totally different beria. A totally different case. Meaning, again, I will say, remember, when you grow something in a mold, so it takes the shape of the mold, which means I grew it in a mold of a car. So now my esrog looks like a matchbox car. So what does the Gemara say? It's a good market, might be. Somebody's going to make money off this. Right? So what happens? So the Brisa said, it's not good, because it looks like a totally different creation. Amarava, lo shanu ella kime bria acheres. That's only true if the mold makes it look like something totally different, i.e. now like an esrog. Ava ki briaso, but if it still looks like an esrog, kosher, then it'll still be kosher. The Gemara says, obviously, pshita, kemin bria acheres tinan. That's obvious. That's what the Brisa said. The Brisa said that it's only problematic if what? It's only problematic lemaisa if it looks like a totally different creation. To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha da'avida dapi dapi. Oh, what's the case you're about to say? Literally, where you put it in a mold that makes it look like, I don't know how to properly explain this. Dapi dapi literally means like planks or like edges, ridges. And imagine if you have a mold that's circular, but on the inside it goes like this. It has like ridges, and you were to put the esrog in it, so the esrog would look like an esrog, but it would have these ridges, these indentations. So the mice, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that esrog would still be kosher. Why? Because even though, again, it has this interesting form of the ridges, the up and down, but lemaisa, it still has the same shape and form of an esrog itself. So because of that lemaisa, it will still be kosher. So the Gemara goes weiter. Itmar, esrog shenakvu achbarim. If you have an esrog that was nakvu, literally means that a hole was made in it by mice. It was perforated by mice. So a mouse took a bite out of it, did something to it. So Amarav in ze hadar. Rav, now this is interesting. So Rav says you can't use such an esrog. Why? It's not hadar. It's not beautiful. It's not beautiful. Ini, is that so? Now we're assuming the reason why it's not hadar is why? Because the mouse took a bite out of it. It's deficient. It's missing. Rav says, is that true? Vaha Rabbi Chanina. Rav says, listen to this. Ha Rabbi Chanina, mat bil ba v'nafik ba. Rav says, you know what Rabbi Chanina would do? You know what he would do? He would dip his esrog in some type of dipping sauce. He would take a bite out of it, and then he would go to shul and use it for the mitzvah. Okay? So apparently you see from here that the mice are taking a bite out of the esrog. Does not invalidate the esrog. Rashi says, Rabbi Chanina mat bil ba, it's the last wide line of the Rashi. Ocha miktaso. He would eat a bit of it. He would take a bite out of it. The nafik rashes v'yotzi dechavasa benosar or mevarich halav, and he would make a, and when we say he make a bracha, that's not referring to eating it, right? That's referring to make a bracha on the tilas lulav right afterwards. V'hadinaket matpil. Okay, so fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, "Ul Rabbi Chanina kashya masnisin." Aye, but Rabbi Chanina, there's a kasha on the Mishnah, because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said chaser kol shehu, that if an esrog is missing any little bit, the esrog is possible. And if you're taking a bite out of it, then obviously, again, the esrog is possible. To which the Gemara says, Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan biyom tov rishon, kan biyom tov sheni. To which the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. One is referring to yom tov rishon, one is referring to yom tov sheni. I will say, what does that mean? That apparently on yom tov rishon, you cannot use an esrog that is missing any. Esrog must be fully complete. But in Yom Tov Sheni, apparently the Gemara is suggesting that even if the esrog is missing a little bit, the esrog would still be kasher for service. El l'Rav kasha. But you also remember, according to Rav, it's a kasha. Because what did Rav say? Rav said that l'maisa, if the mouse took a bite out of the esrog is problematic because it's not kasher, because it's not hadar. It's no longer beautiful. It's no longer beautiful. But the Gemara says again, but yet Rabbi Chanina went ahead and took a bite out of his esrog, and yet the esrog was still kosher. Amar l'charav, Rav will say, no, shiny achbarim dimeisi. Both said there's a difference between a human being takes a bite out of the esrog and a mouse takes a bite out of the esrog. When a rodent takes a bite out of the esrog, it makes the esrog disgusting. It makes the esrog disgusting. So lemaisa, again, that's why Rav says it's not an issue of deficiency, because had a human being taken a bite out of the esrog, at least on the second day and on, you'd be able to use such an esrog. But when a rodent takes a bite out of it, that makes the esrog repulsive, and therefore it's no longer usable. Ika da Amri, others have another version of this exchange. Amarav ze hadar. Rav said that even if the esrog is missing part of it, it could still be considered hadar. Daha Rabbi Chanina matpil ba v'nafik ba, because Rabbi Chanina would dip his esrog in some type of dipping sauce. And what? And lemaisa, he would go ahead and take a bite out of it and still use it for the mitzvah. Hi, Ul Rabbi Chanina kashya masnisin. Hi, but according to Rabbi Chanina, what about our Mishnah that said that chaser is not good? Lo kashya, it's not a contradiction. Kan biyom tov rishon, kan biyom tov sheni. Rabosai, when can you not use a deficient esrog? That is only on yom tov rishon, but on yom tov sheni and on, you'd be permitted to go ahead and use the esrog. Again, assuming that what? Assuming that the deficiency was because of anything other than a rodent's bite. But again, if the rodent got into your esrog box, then the mice, again, the esrog would not be usable because it's mose, because at that point in time, it's disgusting. Esrog katon, so a small esrog. Amarav from Bar Papa, Kimachlokes kan kach machlokes ba'avanim mikurzolo. So once again, remember, this is going back to now to the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah spoke about the shear of an esrog cotton. Rabbi Meir says it can't be smaller than a walnut, and Rabbi Yehuda says like an egg. Like an egg. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, Rahman Bar Papa says, the same there's a machlokis over here by esrog, there's also a machlokis by avonim mikurzolos. So both say avonim mikurzolos means sharp-sided stones. Now Rashi points out over here, in the times of the Gemara, there wasn't toilet paper. So how would people wipe themselves? They wipe themselves with sharpened stones. Don't try that at home. Right? Or the field, for that matter. And again, so this is how people clean themselves after defecating. So the Gemara says over here that the same machlokas that applies by Esrog applies to the sharpened stones. What's the machlokas by the sharpened stones? The sanya, b'shabis gimel avonim mekurzolos. Rabbo say, mutu lahachnis lebeis akise. We'll say, here's the halacha. Normally, stones are mukta. However, Chazal, remember, mukta is the rabbanon. Chazal lifted their restriction, what we call for kavod abrios, for the dignity of man, for him to be able to clean himself up after using the bathroom. So Chazal lifted their ban or their prohibition on mukta and allowed you to move the rocks. How many rocks, and again, this is all assuming there's no carrying problem. If there's a carrying problem, then that's not rabbinic, that's going to be daraisa. So assuming now there's no real carrying problem, you're permitted to go ahead and move these rocks, carry these rocks for the sake of human dignity, kavod abrios. How many rocks are you permitted to take with you? So the Gemara says, v'kama shi'uron, Rabbi, and you're allowed to take three of them. What's the size of the three rocks? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Egos. Rabbi Meir says that each rock could be the size of a walnut. Rabbi Huda says kibetza. Rabbi Huda says like a beitza. I must say, obviously, again, these two machloksim have nothing to do with each other, of the rocks or the esrog. But the idea is, it just happens to be interesting that the machlokis about shiurim is the same machlokis by esrog as it ultimately is by the beitza. Just Yishnu Abbasai, the way we paskin by the esrog case is that we paskin that the esrog must be at least the size of an egg. That's what we paskin. We paskin like Rabbi Huda, who says kebeitza. Okay. So what about the largest shear for an esrog? So the Gemara says ubegadol. What about the largest shear? So in that case, the Mishnah said kedeshiyochas shnayim biyado. Rabbi Huda holds that the esrog could only be big enough that you have to be able to hold two of them in your hand. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Even if one esrog takes up both of your hands, that's kosher as well. So the Gemara says, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Maiseb Rabbi Akiva, Shebala Beisakneses. Rabbi Akiva once came to shul, Ve'esrogo al Kisefo, and he needed a shoulder strap for his esrog. Right? He was carrying his esrog on his shoulder. So the Gemara wants to bring this as a raya to show that the esrog can be as big as you want. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Rabbi Yehuda says, that's your raya. Afheim Amrulo Ein Zo Hadar. They told Rabbi Akiva, that is not a nice esrog. They might have said, nice esrog. But again, this was not a hadr esrog. This is not in the eyes of halacha considered to be a hadr esrog. Now, I'll tell you, halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin in this type of situation, again, this is in Simon, Taf Reish Mem Ches, but this is Se'if Chaf Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in this case, Shir Esrog Katan, Pachos Mika Beitz Apostle. Again, if it's less than the size of an egg, the esrog is pasul. Aval hu kebeitza, afilu imhu boser, sha'adai lo nigmar perio. But again, if it's the size of an egg, even if that means that the esrog has not fully matured, which we'll discuss, by the way, when we get into the discussion about coloration, the esrog is kasher. Vim haya gadol kol shu kasher. And you can have an esrog as big as you want. And actually, the Mishnah Berurah points out, hainu, afilu igadol shemevio al ksefo. Even if it's so big that you have to carry it on your shoulder, like Rabbi Akiva's case, the esrog will still be kosher. Says the Mishnah, ein ognes alulav ela b'mino divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You can only bind, remember again, assuming that you have to bind the dalet minim together, you can only bind the lulav together b'mino with something that is made of the dalet minim of one of the four species. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, "Afilu bechut b'meshicha." Rabbi Meir says you could even use linen thread. No, you could tie the lulav together even with material that is not part of the dalet minim, even with little thread. I'm Rabbi Meir. Ma'aseh ba'anshei Yerushalayim she'ogdin esulavehen begimonios shalzav. And where Amir comes on, the world, so this is so beautifully, that the people of Yerushalayim used to bind their dalet minim together with fibers of gold. So beautiful. They would tie their lulav. Remember, imagine a holster made of fibers of gold. So they would go ahead and make everything of gold. Amrulo, so they said to him, no. Bemino hayu ogdin osomi lamata. No, you're missing a very important detail. They had fibers of gold, but underneath the fibers of gold were what? Were again materials of the dalet minim. So it actually held the lulav, hadassim, and aravos together, was actually again something of the dalet minim. And they had a gold fiber overlay on top of that to make it look beautiful. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, afilu b'siv, afilu b'ikra d'dikla. Rava says that you could bind the lulav together. Rava says, siv means ivy. Now this is the ivy that grows around the palm tree. Or ikra d'dikla. Ikra d'dikla means like the bark. I guess the bark of the palm tree is somewhat pliable. So you can even use those things. Where Rava's coming along and teaching us is that when we see that you have to bind the lulav, the hadas, and the ravos together, the minon doesn't actually have to mean with a lulav, hadas, or an estro. It just means something that is in the same family as these items. So for example, the lulav comes from the palm tree. So Rav is saying, therefore, you could bind the lulav with the ivy or the bark of the palm tree as well. But Amar Rav said, my time is Rabbi Huda. What is Rabbi Huda's logic? Why does Rabbi Huda say that you have to bind the lulav, hadasim, and aravos together with the same meaning? Because Rabbi Huda holds that a lulav must be bound, the minim must be bound together. The ma'isim mina achrina, and therefore, if you bind them together with some other material that is not one of the dalid minim, then what? Havi chamisha mini. It becomes then the item that's bound together becomes part of the bundle, and then what ends up happening? You have just effectively added a fifth item to the bundle. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up right over here tomorrow morning session. Probably true.